You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Tuesday, July 25th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Wall Street, Matt Modica, and the King, Scott Angle. I am Greg Sussman, no fantasy executive today. He will be back for the Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up at 9 a.m. East, 6 a.m. Pacific. Gentlemen, what's popping? What's going on, man?
It is beautiful out. It's like a nice, cool morning on a summer day. I can't ask for more of that. And I'm sure on the West Coast, it's going to be sunny and beautiful, so don't worry about that.
There you go. Scotty, how are you, man?
Good. Working last night. Check out the latest in the exclusive Edge package on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King at checkout for a 20% discount.
I believe the code you're looking for is Sussmania.
Check out Mike Blewett's offensive line rankings from 1 to 32.
I lost my belt. Ding you.
Somebody stole it.
Someone stole my belt.
Ding, ding.
I feel like you probably stole it so I wouldn't ding you, but that's okay.
I'm many things, but not a thief.
Fair enough.
Yes.
On the program today, we are continuing Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and at rotoexperts.com. We're going to hit the sleeper running backs. We're going to take a look at the running backs that people thought they were sleeping on last year. Let's see how they did. And then we're going to take a look at the running backs that are quote-unquote sleepers here this year. A couple of interesting names inside the exclusive Edge package, which you can check out at rotoexperts.com using the promo code SUSMANIA, as I tried to interrupt earlier.
Ding.
Thank you. And it's then sleeping with the staff. The running backs, there's a lot of consensus with one guy. We're talking about him. And we have a lot of running backs we're going to get to here on the show over the next 2 hours. Before we do, I do want to get into the top stories here from yesterday. And it's frustrating. I know Corey really wanted to be here for one of them. But nevertheless, we'll have to get into it without the fantasy executive. I got to start with a running back who may qualify as a sleeper, not one of these deep sleepers that you're taking in the late rounds or whatnot, but a guy that I had thought really for the last several months would overperform. Like, I thought that this would be a guy that you're going to be able to draft and have some success with, and that was Carlos Hyde. I've banged the drum on Carlos Hyde for many, many months sitting in this seat, and he has been my guy. I like the situation. I like the coach. I like the talent. And yet, the news that comes out yesterday in regards to Carlos Hyde was not so good. Do we believe that? Or do we trust our guts? Some of us more substantial than others. When we come back, we break down Carlos Hyde next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So what do we believe? Do we believe in talent, in contract years, and a guy that's going to prove himself here in 2017? Or do we believe all of the tea leaves that we have read for months when it comes to Carlos Hyde? It was Greg Rosenthal, formerly of Roto World, now of Around the NFL, for the NFL.com, that reported, listen, Carlos Hyde, forget being the backup running back, he may not even make this team. Seems a little dramatic, but nevertheless, that's where it's at. Maddie, let's start with you here on the program today. How worried should we be about drafting Carlos Hyde?
I mean, this is a bit concerning. I mean, you just keep hearing negative things about him. I've been on record as saying I think he's one of the better values. I just really can't see the Niners cutting this guy. Like, why would you cut him? At least see what you have in the preseason. It just doesn't make sense. This is a talented running back. I know they said he's having problems picking up the scheme and all that. But, I mean, a rookie, Joe Williams, is going to come in and just, you know, figure it out and, you know, take on pass blocking and all that. The guy to me, and he just went in one of my drafts that I'm doing, is Tim Hightower. He becomes a real person of interest here and someone that should be on your radar. And maybe he was somebody you just had as a deep, deep sleeper. But, you know, maybe he's starting to wake up and becoming more and more relevant each day with this negative news coming out of San Fran.
Yeah, we talk about Joe Williams a lot, or we did. And I think Matt's right here, Scotty, that Tim Hightower is probably somebody of note. Like, ultimately for me, I don't think Carlos Hyde's going to get cut. I don't think you just cut talent, right? And I get he doesn't fit Shanahan's scheme. Shanahan didn't draft them, and neither did John Lynch. And they have zero relationship with Carlos Hyde. They have zero loyalty to this guy. But if I just look at their backfield, and I look at Capri Bibbs, and I look at Joe Williams, and look at Tim Hightower, if Carlos Hyde's healthy, I believe he's got the most talent there. So I don't think you just cut talent. But I'm legitimately concerned now about how effective he's going to be and how many snaps and touches he's going to get.
Yeah, you know, but he did bring in his guys. He drafted Williams. He traded for Bibbs as a potential receiving back. But you look at this and you think, okay, is this a plant in the media to motivate him? Or is this a real story? Regardless, his draft stock is going to drop, because even if you don't believe it, when you're on the board, when it comes down to a decision between him and somebody else, you're going to say, well, I don't know for sure if this is true or not, so I want to avoid, you know, any issues if I can. So even if you say you don't believe the story, there's something in the back of your mind that may creep in when he's on the draft board and will knock his stock down anyway.
And just to look, even if Carlos Hyde, which I don't think he's going to get cut either, but if he did, he's not going to be out of work for long.
Sure.
I mean, picture him on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Put him in that backfield.
Put him on the Lions.
You know,
yeah. From the Lions, yeah. Fair.
There's many teams. Yeah.
There's many teams that can use a Carlos Hyde. But Scott, let me throw this at you. Let's say Carlos Hyde, it's clear in training camp that he's not the guy. That for whatever reason, he doesn't get cut, but he's not the guy. What do you do? Are you going to invest here in Tim Hightower? Are you going to invest in Joe Williams? What do you think you would do?
To Maddie's point, I would probably invest first in Hightower, but I would also probably see some sort of committee where Hightower is the lead guy. They work in Joe Williams until they feel he's ready, and they have Capri Bibbs as a third down back. And, you know, that might be the plan. If this does actually turn out to be true, and I can't say it isn't, or I can't say it is, it's very hard to see what's happening here. You know, that's what I think will happen. You know, the Colts are another team, too, that I think maybe can use a Carlos Hyde. Because you look at teams like the Colts, and you look at teams like the Lions. When you don't have a good offensive line, you want a runner who can break tackles and create his own yardage. And when Carlos Hyde is healthy, that's what he can do.
And I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I don't want to speculate where Carlos Hyde can end up, because I think he's still on a team. I understand, but to me, I don't think he's getting cut. And my issue with drafting Tim Hightower, which is what I wanted to get to, or drafting even a Joe Williams or Capri Bibbs at this point, is that when Carlos Hyde is still on this team, even as a backup, he's going to be lying in the weeds. That if Tim Hightower is ineffective, if Joe Williams can't block, if Capri Bibbs proves, you know, he's the same third stringer he's been for most of his career at this point, Carlos Hyde's still there. And at some point this year, he's going to get an opportunity. So if this news is going to make him just drop and drop and drop, I'm still going to get in on Carlos Hyde. Maybe it's his blind belief that I have on this guy, but I'm telling you, when he's healthy, he's talented.
Dude, you don't even know if Carlos Hyde could be traded to another team where
you were all about getting rid of Carlos Hyde off the Niners.
No, I'm saying I'm looking at all the possibilities. Did the other possibility is this whole thing is BS and he just stays and becomes the lead running back? You don't know at this point. He becomes a big wild card.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And
yeah.
Where and I have a feeling he's going to drop from where he's going now. I mean, he was going in the sixth round or so, I believe. I look at Fantasy Pros and I look at their ADPs at the moment. Carlos Hyde is currently going. No way. You're only 35 overall in the middle of the third round? Are you kidding me?
See, that's, I don't know. I'm going to dispute that ADP.
Okay.
You know, he's in the drafts, I've seen him go. The highest I've seen him go is in the fifth round. He's more of like that seventh round guy, you know, maybe mid to late sixth, but he's gone. I've gotten him in the seventh. I would think, right. You know, end of the fifth to more like mid-sixth is where I see him go.
Scotty,
and let's make the distinction, though, because, you know, Matt will be drafting in the NFFC. In early mainstream drafts, people may look at it and say, he's the starter. You know, that's it. Because a lot of times mainstream will just say, who's the starting running back? And they'll take him early.
I don't know that you're giving enough credit to mainstream, to be honest with you. Because I play in mainstream leagues. I'm not playing in the type of leagues that Matt's playing in.
Right.
I'm playing in mainstream leagues. We're not just going to be...
I'm talking about leagues where people might even have less experience than you.
I understand.
Then why
that.
Is the ADP lays like it is?
I have no idea.
That's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
Well, one of the things I would assume that this ADP is, you know, so high on Carlos Hyde in this is, you know, with some of these sites, you got to be careful if you do, like, these mock drafts and
yeah,
stuff like that.
That's a good point.
People are going to go on auto after the first round.
You that's a very good point.
People fooling around. That's why I always defer to the NFFC.
That's
it is
fair,
a high stakes. I understand.
But
I'm in the middle
one,
of...
One thing, though. One thing that, like...
What?
It doesn't take into account mock drafts, though. These are real drafts.
Well, according to the Fantasy Pros, the average draft position is... Mm-hmm. The consensus is three sources. That doesn't sound like very many, right?
What are the sources, though?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, are Yahoo and ESPN having real drafts right now?
It's the AD, so basically, it's the ADP of Fantrax, Fantasy Football Calculator, and My Fantasy League as of Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not here to bash anybody, but look.
Hold on.
We're here.
Hold on. Let me see if I do it this. I can't do it. I don't have a Fantasy Pros.
Even if you play in your home league or in whatever it is, in ESPN, Yahoo, nobody's talking down to you. We're just trying to show you and educate you and maybe give you an upper hand on your home league who is following something like this.
Well, Scotty, you mentioned all these teams you can see Carlos Hyde ending up on. Would you rather have as a Seahawk fan? Would you rather have Carlos Hyde or Eddie Lacy?
Eddie Lacy.
You would rather have Eddie Lacy. So that brings up my next point.
To me, it's almost like the same sort of thing. You're talking about one guy with the weight issue and Carlos Hyde with the injuries. You know, I already have Thomas Rawls with injury issues. So, you know, as a Seahawk fan, Carlos Hyde, it's a product of the offense, but he's only scored a dozen touchdowns in his career. I feel more confident with... You know, neither running back has been outstanding, but I think I'm more confident what I've seen of Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, no, Eddie Lacy, for where I see him go, I don't have a problem paying that price. Am I ultra confident in Eddie Lacy? No, but Eddie Lacy still has talent. Let's not forget that. He's in a very good system for him. So these are all positive factors. The one thing I will say is, and he's not a bell cow back, so that helps Eddie Lacy, but... CJ Procise is a dynamic running back that I do like a lot. That if he can stay healthy, adds an extra feature to that offense, and somebody that's once again not going to be the bell cow, but could become a bigger piece of this offense this season.
I do want to make it clear though, I think he's not healthy yet. Carlos Hyde's healthy. Eddie Lacy's not.
He isn't.
No. Eddie Lacy is quote unclear if he will be 100% for the start of training camp.
Recovering from what injury?
Ankle. He's not currently healthy. Carlos Hyde is.
He's
recovering from ankle. He's from ankle surgery. He had ankle surgery earlier this year. Or that was last year. Ankle surgery during the year. Right? That was what caused him on the IR.
It must have happened so long ago. I forgot about it.
That was what I think put him on the IR. Scotty it was the ankle injury, and he's still not 100%. So when I crushed Sammy Watkins yesterday for not being 100% after all this time. Same issue with Eddie Lacy. He's still at 100%.
When did that report come out last night?
That came out 4 days ago. 4 days ago.
I missed that one.
Yeah. So Eddie Lacy's still not healthy, which wants me to get into the potential sleeper running backs. I got one for you, and his name's Thomas Rawls. Let's talk about Rawls. Let's talk about Lacy. The Seahawks next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, and Matt Modica here with you. Before we went to break, I brought up Eddie Lacy and pointed out the fact that came out over the weekend. Dude's still not 100%. And I just
researched that during the break, and I don't think that's accurate.
So you don't believe
the Tacoma News Tribune said he's ready to go for camp. Free of limitations, mostly free of limitations from the surgery. And I'm watching video of him from minicamp where he doesn't look like he's affected by this at all.
So you don't believe the Seattle Times then, sir?
I'm looking at the Tacoma News Tribune.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Can't do this today. All right, well, I'm telling you, he was limited in OTAs, which is what you're watching. Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times says it is unclear if he'll be 100%.
George Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune says he's going to be mostly free of limitations.
Mostly free of limitations.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I'm watching the film. This doesn't look like a guy that has a problem with his ankles.
Nevertheless,
yeah,
it brings me to my point. Is Thomas Rawls currently getting underdrafted?
What is his ADP right now? He has to be going like double figure rounds.
Yeah, he's like free.
He's going in like the fourth round, according to. I'm just kidding. According to Fantasy Pros, Thomas Rawls is going in the top of the 13th or end of the 12th.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I got him in the 12th, I think, in our standard mock that we did on rotoexperts.com.
Inside the exclusive edge package, by the way.
Enter the King of Code for a 20% discount.
He meant Sussmania.
They're calling it a training camp battle on ESPN. I still believe, you know, this could be one of two things here. This could be Lacy definitely being the lead guy, or it could be a pure committee. Because the problem with Rawls is when you give him a lot of exposure, he plays too big for his size. He's very physical for his size, and he tends to get injured. He's a very, very tenacious physical runner. I think what the Seahawks might want to do ideally is have Lacy, and fantasy players should notice, have Lacy as the goal line guy, sprinkle in some Rawls. I think Lacy will be the number one. I think Rawls will be the number two, and Procise will be a wild card who can touch the ball in a variety of different ways and will be very exciting for NFL purposes and unreliable for fantasy purposes.
I don't know. I think Procise in a PPR. I'm a fan of that. I think Eddie Lacy going into camp, I think the Seahawks want him to be the clear number one. He's going to get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Can he hold on to that? When we've seen him play, when he's on the field, he does put up good numbers. There's things that always keep you going back to Eddie Lacy. Thomas Rawls, for me, was given that opportunity last season. And, you know, he underperformed. You know, there's a reason they went out. There's a reason that the Seahawks are pretty much interviewing every running back this offseason.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everybody came to Seattle, passed through Seattle at some point or another. And like I said, Lacy, to me, on the upside, is like a low-end number two. Maybe, you know, if he's like my number three running back, I'm much more happy with that. But I do see positives in drafting Eddie Lacy. I mean, people have been burned, but you really, I never try to write off any player in, whether it's football, baseball, whatever.
Yeah, at some point, everybody is value, bless you. With Rawls, I don't know what's much underperforming is the guy just can't stay healthy. We saw him have a very good wild card game last year. And, you know, he's talented, but he can't stay healthy.
Can't you say the same thing about Eddie Lacy, though?
What's that?
You say the same thing about Eddie Lacy.
That's why I think they have two of them there. But I think Lacy, when he's healthy, is the more talented runner. Plus, they're giving him a one-year deal. And the other thing is, they want to return to the very physical running style that they had a few years ago. And I think that's more what you see in Lacy than you see in Rawls, because Rawls is physical, but he's physical to the point of detriment.
But I think you can say, again, the same thing about Eddie Lacy. He's physical to the point of detriment because he keeps getting hurt. I've been with you this entire offseason on Eddie Lacy. Remember, like,
yeah,
people, I've been with you, Eddie Lacy versus Marshawn Lynch, and I still am, because I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm just concerned when you tell me they're going back to the physicality, they're going back to the Marshawn Lynch type of running scheme, and they feel that Eddie Lacy fits that a little bit better than Thomas Rawls. I'm just nervous that Eddie Lacy, who, whether you what you're saying or not, he's, let's say he's 90%, he's not 100%. He's not 100% yet after ankle surgery close to a year ago. I'm just nervous he can hold up. And because of that, I'm getting more in on Thomas Rawls.
This is why it could be a committee. And I forgot why I read it, but somebody was so astute on saying it, is that, you know, I'm trying to remember. I think it was on the NFL Network, maybe. And they were saying that Marshawn Lynch, I think it was Ike Taylor, actually, that said it, who's a very astute analyst. He said, you know, when Marshawn...
Better analyst than football player.
He was a pretty good corner. You know, he said Marshawn Lynch, when he played, there was just such a combination of factors that I won't even go into and digress on right now. But it may take three running backs to replace what Marshawn Lynch was, and they might have a committee to replace what Marshawn Lynch was in terms of attitude, production, etc. Even though ProSize is very, very different in terms of style, that's why it may become a committee, because of what we're all saying here and what you just accounted for.
Well, the hope is that Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, whatever combination, however they're used, if they're effective in beating up teams, you know, with their being, you know, if they can all beat down teams over the course of a game, I think that's just going to enhance CJ ProSize. I mean, there is a thing when you play in the PPR format, there are running backs who have really good value that people will wait on and stuff. I mean, if you look at a Theo Riddick and what he's able to do every year, it's all about him just staying on the field. When he's on the field, he produces for you week in and week out. So I think ProSize has that ability. And if you got an Eddie Lacy, if Thomas Rawls can get back from get back to that physicality and stuff, and, you know, that second half of games, CJ ProSize can really light things up.
And ProSize, for another thing, too, we already see, we know from college years, that, you know, that's the thing for him, too, staying on the field. I just don't think he can be anywhere as consistent as a Theo Riddick, because, you know, the Lions use him as an extension of the running game. Let's throw it to him, but, you know, screens, you know, all kinds of things. Whereas ProSize, I think, you know, they're going to spread the ball around a heck of a lot. He's going to have some big games, but he's going to have some stinkers, too.
So what makes people in on a guy like CJ ProSize? I mean, I hear what you're saying, have the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and really be a part of this passing game. But I'm, like, looking at his numbers last year. And I'm trying to see what everyone's kind of just, like, jumping in. And, all right, so he had one game against New Orleans. He had four carries, whatever, 20 yards, four catches for 80. Okay. A couple weeks later against New England, he was the primary ball carrier, 17 for 66, and here was the big game receiving, 7 for 87. All right, so he had a really good game receiving that. The only other game he was healthy for until the playoffs, where he didn't play, the only other game he was healthy for the rest of the year, he had four carries, he had a 72-yard touchdown.
Get to Philly. Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, the fantasy players love him because fantasy players love versatility. That was it because he was hurt at the beginning of the year, and then he got hurt again. And, you know, that's the thing. If they knew that he could stay healthy, they'd have their running back because he can run the ball and he can catch the ball, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and like Scott said, he was hurt early, then, you know, that unfortunate injury after that great play. But the thing here is, now it's year two for him. Hopefully, you know, maybe whatever he had to do in the offseason. You know, it's like with fantasy baseball, I'm harking back to that, with, you know, younger players when they're first called up in, you know, August, September, and they fail. I'm on those guys that have high pedigree and stuff like that the following season. It's about getting the taste. He, you know, if he would have played the rest of that season, I would have liked to have seen how that would have unfolded for him. Because, I mean, I know I was excited watching that game versus the Eagles, and then, you know, it was quickly shut down. But I think this is a guy that's not costing you a lot, and in a PPR could be a nice, profitable player.
I think, though, the issue is with Lacy there, with Rawls there.
But he has a role. He has a role.
I don't disagree with you.
He has a role.
I don't disagree with you. That talent and role is not there.
That's why I draft like Theo Riddick. Because Theo Riddick has a role. There are, like, James White. If you believe James White is the pass-catching back, he has a role on one of the best offenses in the league. So that's what you really need to look at when you're building a team. Who has roles? Who is going to be in the game script every week? And who's going to get targets, receptions? You know, you got to have a mindset entering the draft. You can't just take somebody's rankings and say, you know what, I'm just going to draft with this. That's fine if you want to do it. But if you want to get better and make yourself better, you know, just take a little time. I mean, you're going to want to play it all 13
rounds. I don't disagree with that, but I put ProSize somewhere in the middle with Riddick and behind Riddick. And, you know, like maybe with James White, I just, you know, the role is going to be there, but Theo Riddick's more consistent in that offense. I don't think every week that ProSize is going to get an opportunity because there's a lot of people touching the ball. He has a role, but I don't believe that it's going to be like, I think consistency is going to be an issue.
So this is what I wanted to get in on too, Scott, because I agree with you. Yeah. Like Theo Riddick's role is very, very clear. I mean, he's going to be on the field almost every down, and we know what he can do catching passes. I understand Amir Abdullah was hurt last year, but Amir Abdullah is also always hurt. And the fact is, they used Theo Riddick in the red zone, they used Theo Riddick on their own 20, all over the field. He has his role. James White, as we saw in the Super Bowl, and as we have seen throughout Belichick and Brady's tenure, they use, depending on the game, they use a passing down back very, very consistently. I have not seen that from Seattle. And maybe I'm wrong, Scotty. You're the Seattle guy. Maybe I'm wrong. But I have not seen in this Russell Wilson era them use consistently a passing back out of the backfield to have a monster amount of success.
It's a new wrinkle that they wanted to put in
the
offense.
But you keep telling me they're going back to the old
way.
I think
it's evolving, and I think ProSize is giving the opportunity.
He's right. That's what I'm saying. They want to put yet another wrinkle to threaten defenses, but the consistency is not going to be there because of what you said.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. When we come back, we'll continue to talk running backs on Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
So, we mentioned Carlos Hyde, Eddie Lacy, CJ ProSize, and such this morning. I want to take a trip down memory lane. I want to go back to last year because I want to look at some of the running backs that we expected to break out last year as sleepers that, you know, some did well, some did not. Here were the sleepers that, so we begin, most of these come, And I do have Scott's in here as well. From Sleeping with the Staff, RotoExperts.com 2016. Of course, 2017 versions in the Excite the Exclusive Edge package. Promo code SUSMANIA. Here we go. Rashad Jennings, a sleeper last year. That didn't work out.
No.
Okay.
No bueno.
He slept.
He's still sleeping.
Yeah.
He won Dancing with the Stars.
He did run Dancing with the Stars, and then he went back to
sleep. Maybe he was a sleeper for Dancing with the Stars.
He was a sleeper. You know, the football players usually do very well on that show.
I believe George Kurtz had him.
He did not. I actually have him.
No, I'm joking. Because he nailed the guy coming up, and he nailed Matt Ryan. So.
Well, I know you said that, but... You know who he had last year? Oh, you're on my sheet. Okay, so Rashad Jennings, not so good. Isaiah Crowell was a sleeper last year. Was that a success, guy?
I'd have to say that's a push.
That's a push?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt?
I'd probably say for where his draft price was, it was a success.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Scott, you thought Isaiah Crowell was going to get cut during the year.
Yeah, I did.
I know. You're not the Isaiah Crowell guy. That's okay. Yeah. All right. So Isaiah Crowell is kind of a push. He's pretty good. Okay. I think Isaiah Crowell was pretty solid last year. Bilal Powell last year.
That was a good call.
Good call.
Yeah.
All right. Carlos Hyde, we spoke about. And then we get to George Kurtz's guy. George Kurtz nailed Matt Ryan as his sleeper last year at the quarterback position. In 2016, as his running back, George Kurtz selected DeMarco Murray.
I think George Kurtz should just write the sleeper thing, if you ask me.
I don't disagree with you. Hey. If Kurtz nailed Ryan and nailed Murray, maybe we should pay attention to who he's sleeping with the staff with this year.
I got to ask him tonight on the Black Book how many championships he won. He was nailing all these sleepers, so sure. I'm hoping he had a very successful season.
Absolutely. So George Kurtz nails DeMarco Murray last year, which was an excellent job by Kurtz. I do have who he has this year. Of course, you can read more. You can read his description inside the Exclusive Edge package, but I'll tell you who he picked coming up next hour. All right, there you go. So DeMarco Murray, obviously successful last year. Next up is Scott the King Angle's pick. Do you remember who you picked last year?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Every year becomes a blur.
I understand. But we gotta hold everybody accountable.
If I tell you this much, if the guy would have hit, I'm sure Scotty would have remembered him.
Probably.
I don't always remember who it is. I'm just playing around
with Scott, though. The answer was Chris Ivory. And here's what you wrote about him, sir. He is going to have a career season. Ivory is looking more patient and elusive so far this preseason, and he could be headed for a career year.
Yeah, but I did write about his offensive line.
In Scott's defense, I'll say this. Didn't he get like some mystery illness?
We still don't know what it is.
Yeah, and he was like, so, you know, things just went wrong, but, you know, at least Jacksonville has learned their lesson, and they went out and paid up in the draft for that, you know, hopefully franchise running back, hopefully somebody that they can, you know, be the focal point of their offense.
So, Chris Ivory, interestingly enough, I wanted to bring him up for this year because people are in on Leonard Fournette. I think, honestly, as we've gotten closer and closer to our actual draft, I've become more in on Fournette than I was right after the draft.
Yeah.
I've been steadily out on Christian McCaffrey, and I feel like most of the industry has kind of come along on my side. I remember after the draft, everyone sat around this table and was like, Christian McCaffrey. And now we're seeing him slide a little bit in drafts. Leonard Fournette, at least for me, is kind of going the other way. I mentioned Lamar Miller a lot, and I'm still in on Lamar Miller. I know people aren't. I know Jake's not. I know a lot of you guys are not. I'm still in on Lamar Miller, but I'm more comfortable with Leonard Fournette than I was as well. And that leads me to Chris Ivory, which is the guy we're talking about. We can talk a little bit more about Fournette in a second. But Chris Ivory, is he somebody, Scotty, that could just be a red zone vulture here for this Jaguars team?
I don't see it.
No?
I don't see it. They drafted Fournette. Fournette has drawn comparisons to Adrian Peterson. And the big reason why I think Fournette is going to be the guy is because, again, when you don't have a terrific offensive line, you need a physical running back to create his own room, break tackles, anticipate. Adrian Peterson, in his prime, played behind some shaky offensive lines and did not matter. Although for a long period, he did play by a good offensive line. But I feel that the Jaguars drafted him because they feel that he can overcome what's happening on the offensive line there. They're going to give him every opportunity to do so. I don't see any sort of significant role for Chris Ivory.
Yeah, Ivory, to me, he needs a Fournette injury.
Okay.
Then, you know, then you want to jump on
and
him.
And then it will be a Chris Ivory
injury, probably.
Most likely so. Then we'll be back, as I said, to where we were last year with the Yeldon Ivory.
Yeah, because I think Yeldon has clearly defined himself on that roster as the pass-catching back.
So. Okay. So, like I said, I'm in on Leonard Fournette. I haven't officially done, tell you exactly where I have him.
I got him 10th.
You have him 10th.
I believe there's only 9 guys that really truly qualify as an RB1 to me, but I believe Fournette is like the best of the next group.
So that's where I'm at right now, Scotty, as well. So you have, to me, you have your top 9. I'm 100% with you in that, and I'm sure it's the same top 9. Whatever order, we could debate that another day.
Yeah.
But then you get to this grouping, and I've talked about it before. You get this grouping of Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, and Lamar Miller. I think these three guys are next, for me, anyway. I don't know how you rank them, though, Matt.
Well, I have Fournette at 10.
Okay.
I believe Gurley 11, Crowell 12, and Mixon 13.
Oh, you hate Lamar.
But Mixon,
piece of crap.
Mixon could quickly move up on this. And I honestly think after we see a preseason game or two, Mixon might even catapult over Fournette and be like that 10th running back off the board. Because I think there is that clear 9 that are going.
Sure.
People have that. And then, you know, it's personal preference if you believe Todd Gurley bounces back.
Right.
Whatever, Leonard Fournette, the man in Jacksonville. But I think once we get to see Mixon in action,
and I'm Mixon's your boy,
he could seriously jump these guys.
Scott, isn't it amazing how we just turned a Chris Ivory conversation into a Joe Mixon conversation?
This is the beauty of what we do.
Well, it's me and Matt Modiga pumping out his guys, what it is.
I am in the process, but probably by the end of this week, I will be ordering a Kareem Hunt jersey.
Okay, you order a Kareem Hunt jersey. Nice. I'm sure we'll get you on in later in the show. So Leonard Fournette, I agree. He's going to be my number... I think he's going to want to be my number 10 also. Right with you guys.
Here's why I like him better than Gurley.
Yep, that's the question.
I think Gurley's really, you know, a really talented. He does have to take some blame, though, about last year, too. I know it's a bad offensive line, but he's got to make some things happen as well. But the reason I like Fournette better is, as much as you can hate Blake Bortles, he's a better quarterback than Goff.
Yep.
Okay, that's number one. The line, is it better than the Rams line? I don't know, but they drafted the kid. Let's see how that happens. They have Allen Robinson, and as disappointing as last season was, he's still a freak. He's still a number one wide receiver. They have Marcus Lee, who's ascending on up. And Allen Hurns is like a forgotten man. So this is a much better offense than what Todd Gurley is going to. Even if he bounces back, I mean, Robert Woods, I'm a Bills fan. I watch him. He's a good complimentary receiver. He's pretty much going to have to be the number one there. So when I'm looking at all these factors, I have to give it to Fournette. And Fournette's a very talented running back. You know, he played in the SEC. He played on a horrible offense at LSU. So,
I think that's reasonable. And do you? I know, Scott, you also have Fournette over Gurley, and I know Corey's the other way. Corey's got Gurley over Fournette. He's the high guy on Gurley. You know,
I have Gurley 13th.
Who do you have 11 and 12?
McCaffrey and Crowell.
So you're still high on McCaffrey then. You're still the high guy on McCaffrey.
I like him in a PPR.
Interesting.
And I have Miller 18th.
You want to know who's actually... I'm going back to pre-combine. It was, for me, the rookies were Fournette and Cook.
Right.
And I really thought Cook was going to the Panthers. And I think Cook is... I have them back-to-back right now. I don't know if it's like 14, 15. But I think Cook, I'm probably at some point, might take over McCaffrey.
Yeah, I would be surprised if I
did that too, although I have Mixon 14 and Cook 15.
I will take Dalvin Cook over Christian McCaffrey. I'll tell you that. That's a fact. But you guys are wrong in Lamar Miller. I am telling you. You guys are wrong on Lamar Miller.
I think I have him 17.
No, we have a different opinion of you than Lamar
Miller. Yes, I understand you have a different opinion than me, but I'm explaining that for me, Lamar Miller is going to be my 12th ranked running back. So I'm going to be the high guy here on Miller.
Why do you like Miller so much?
I'm just saying the reason that people don't like Miller is because last year he was given every opportunity, he had a billion carries, and he couldn't do anything with them, and he wore down, and he got hurt, and he wasn't impressive. Now they drafted Deonta Foreman, and everyone's like, oh no, and the Jason Braddock said this, and the Texas Beat reporters are saying that. And I'm just looking at this system. And I'm looking at this offense and I'm expecting to be better because Brock Osweiler is not there anymore. That is the only reason, right? Brock Osweiler is not there anymore. Lamar Miller still has the big contract. Lamar Miller, maybe the Dolphins are right and he shouldn't get over 300 carries. But maybe when he is fresher, maybe when he has Dante Foreman to work off the ball a little bit and give him more breathing room and give him a breather every once in a while, maybe he will be effective in less carries a game.
And that's all fair. But that's not enough for me to put him in my top 15.
You have Christian McCaffrey, who's not even the lead running back on his team.
Just to support you, Greg.
More explosive.
Just to support Greg's ranking, pretty much I keep a consensus of industry people I respect and who are well-respected.
I'm in that as well, as you know.
And pretty much the majority of them, I'd say this consensus of six that I use, they pretty much agree with you.
Okay.
He's pretty much a number 12 running back with the board.
What do you have ranked?
16 or 17.
So he disagrees with that.
Oh, I know he does. He does. You and Courtney. Yeah. You guys all do. I'm the Lamar Miller guy. I think people are upset that they were burned and destroyed last year. That's not a way to play, of course, for this year. Take a break on the football. We go to some baseball next because we speak to Rajan Davis of the Oakland Athletics. Stick around. So to Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Time to go at the park with the King, Scott Engel. It's Roto Experts at the park. And Scott, you had an opportunity to talk with the man that hit perhaps one of the most dramatic home runs in World Series history that will never be remembered. And that was Rajan Davis.
Well, I think people like us will remember it. But as we just heard from Greg Sussman, and you can listen to the complete interviews on Audio Boom, iTunes, Google Play, etc. And I asked Rajan why 36 years old, he's still stealing bases like he's 26, and here it is. Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Rajan Davis of the Oakland A's. Rajan, you're in a point in your career where everybody else isn't stealing bases like you are. What's the reason for your success at this point in your career? Is it staying in shape? Is it experience? Is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of a lot of different things, you know. First, you know, I want to go, and I want to steal bases. You know, that's been my trademark my entire career. You know, if I stop, you know, that's the end of my trade, you know. So I got to continue to keep my body in tip-top shape to be able to, you know, steal bases at this level because, you know, you got a lot of good pitchers, good catchers, good throwing catchers, good defensive catchers that are able to, you know, throw you out. I mean, you don't have the tip-top, you know, shape. And you know, not only that, you know, you have, you know, we're playing at the highest level. Guys not trying to give you stolen bases here, you know, especially pitchers. You know, some pitchers, they really pay attention to it. The game is paying attention more to guys stealing bases, you know, so it's tougher to steal bases.
Were there any, like, certain guys that you modeled yourself after growing up?
I mean, I like to watch baseball. You know, I watched Ken Griffey Jr., I watched Ricky Henderson, I watched Barry Bonds. You know, I took it all in from all of the S.
Yeah, and so when we play fantasy baseball, we study what's going on in the game, and it's almost like stolen bases. Yeah, and you know, you take a look at how stolen bases are down against in fantasy baseball across the board, and he's got 19 at age 36. Last year he had 43. And because steals are so hard to come by right now, you can kind of absorb that 230 average that he gives you, especially when he was a free agent in the GST League 2 weeks ago, and he stole those four bases, and people went crazy spending on him.
Yeah, Roger Davis is going to be the same guy forever.
Yeah, no, if I'm a team that is pretty much locked up my playoff spot or have playoff ambitions, he's a guy that I do want on my roster. I mean, even if you have him out there, you put him in as a pinch runner at some point, he's still valuable. He shows, you know, age makes no difference for him. And I think he can really help a team. Just, you know, you need those bench players. You need that guy you can put in there in the eighth inning where you're down a run. You need him to steal for second base.
Yeah, and, you know, there's these type of guys in fantasy baseball that have become more valuable because of the specialists that they are, the Jared Dysons.
Sure.
Ben Revere now is playing regularly for the Angels with Cameron Maybin on the DL, and you need guys like that to try to help you win the category.
I agree. There's always going to be a spot in fantasy baseball for these kind of players.
Well, it seems more scarce this year. I'm sure people are going to do studies on it, but we haven't yet. The narrative coming into this year is you can wait on stolen bases, et cetera, and really in past years too, but now it's a lot more scarce. And the guys who, you know, maybe before he got hurt, they were very, very valuable, and people don't want to part with them in a lot of cases.
No, they do, because they don't, because speed is so tough to find, because power's everywhere. Like we joked about this in the spring, but everybody is hitting 30 home runs this year. That's like the easiest thing in the world to find. It's being able to find the speed, and that becomes tougher. Like, I'm looking at one of my fantasy teams right now, and I don't think anybody steals bases, to be honest with you.
I just had to trade, you know, Danny Duffy to get Jared Dyson. And then I spent free agent money to pick up Ben Revere.
Yeah, my leader in stolen bases was Keon Broxton. He's not even in the majors anymore. So that's an issue. All right, when we come back, I want to stick with baseball action for the next few minutes, because I have some questions about what I should be doing and need your guys' advice, because the trade deadline is coming up in just under a week, and I need to know what preemptive moves I can make. So we'll go to you guys for that help. We'll do it next here when we kick it off. Hour number two. It's the one.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Wall Street, Matt Modica, and the King, Scott Angle, I am Greg Sussman. Happy Tuesday to you all. No Corey Parson here. He will be back for the Fantasy Football Frenzy going up at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We're going to get into some fantasy football. Sleeper Week continues here on the Roto Experts. We're talking running backs today. We're going to get to the running backs that the Roto Experts said you should be jumping in on as sleepers here. We'll get in on that a little bit later on. You can read Sleeping with the Staff at rotoexperts.com right now inside the exclusive Edge package. You want 20% off, you should enter in promo code SUSMANIA to get it. SUSMANIA is the code. Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Before we do get into those sleepers, though, those sleeper running backs, I want to ask you guys a baseball question. Because in 6 days, you have the MLB trading deadline. And it goes up to 4 o'clock. And I always know in my first-come, first-serve league, everything's kind of crazy at 4 o'clock. Everyone's jumping on, trying to do whatever they can do. So I want to get guys where I'm not rushing to the waiver wire, where I'm not fighting with 1,000 other people trying to pick up players. And yet, as everybody knows for that listens to the program, and certainly Matt and Scotty, I got a pickup limit. I got 4 pickups I can make on any given week. And I used one yesterday, early morning, because my hitting was struggling, and I was worried about Matt Carpenter, who looks like he'll be okay. So Whit Merrifield was available. I picked up Whit Merrifield.
Nice.
So that's good. I think my hitting's okay other than that. Like, Yonder Alonso's really struggling right now. Ian Happ should be dropped for my team. Everything else is kind of okay at the moment, I think. Pitching-wise, I lost Clayton Kershaw yesterday, and my pitching is, like, god-awful. But, you know, I'm trying to go with a quantity over quality approach at the pitching level. Nevertheless, trade deadline 6 days away. I know Kyle Barraclough could be the closer in Miami. Hell, Don Mattingly said such, which means like, oh no, that's a real one. I know the Chicago White Sox traded away their top two options for closer in David Robertson and Tommy Canley, and Anthony Swierczak going to get an opportunity after Tyler Clifford blew his first chance.
He got his first career save last night.
There you go.
The manager came out and said, like, indicated he's my guy.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I know that San Diego traded their closer yesterday, Brandon Maurer. He goes over to Kansas City. Brad Hand, who is the likely guy to save for now, he could be traded, probably will be, in the next 6 days, which means Carter Capps very well could be the closer, or somebody else in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So if I want to act preemptively...
And Alex Wilson in Detroit, possibly.
Alex Wilson in Detroit, Justin Wilson gets traded, that's right. All of these options are spinning in my head. I have three pickups left this week. I cannot waste them and get a guy wrong. I can't afford to do that. What do I do preemptively, and what do I wait and see on until next week? I ask the King, and I ask Wall Street when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. The trade deadline is just days away. I want to try and beat my leak to the punch, and so should you. And that's why you should be listening to the Roto Experts, and why you should be listening to Wall Street and the King. Gentlemen, what do I do? I laid out the situation. I don't need to do it again. What do I do?
Oh, I mean, I think A.J. Ramos is definitely moving. I mean, the Marlins really, I think we're trying to move him possibly before the season. It makes too much sense. I mean, we recently, this Sunday night, picked up a speculative, we made a speculative bid. We got him, Kyle Bearclaw. And, you know, that walks per nine scares the hell out of me, but in certain leagues, you know, he's got a walks per nine over six. But in certain leagues where you need saves, and, you know, we even have Colome and Herrera and Kilos on our bench, but, you know, you want to keep adding saves in certain types of formats. I mean, some saves can really hurt you as well, as we've seen. But a guy like him, maybe in, like, San Diego... There's no way in hell Brad Hand should remain on this team. He can get them back too much. You know, you get a left-handed guy like that for a playoff team. That's a huge boost, whoever gets him. So the guy I would speculate in San Diego is Phil Maton. There's another guy, Yates, but Maton, I don't even know how you say it, but he's the guy that I would be looking at there.
Maton, is that what you're
saying? No, it's Maton. I was throwing a little French accent for some reason.
Kidding.
I don't think the guy's French.
Yeah, it depends on what you need, but the easiest guys to speculate on are the closers. And look, Bearclaw, I got him in one league this week in our GST league. Mattingly said he's got the stuff.
What was the price you got him for? I'm just curious.
$11.
Yeah, nice.
46 and a third innings, 31 walks. But this team's not in contention. They're going to let him work through it, I think. You have to rank the closers in your own mind. Hand is dicey because, yeah, he could go to another team to close, but he could also go to be a left-handed specialist. So, you know, what you got to do is you got to rank the potential closers in your mind. Alex Wilson is another guy that I think has done a nice job this year, and if they get rid of Justin Wilson, and there are all these hot rumors about Justin Wilson, that you strongly have to consider him as well. And you have to go down the pike. You know, like, if the Mets were to get rid of Reed, which you're hearing, are they going to give Hansel Robles a shot to maybe do that, or is it going to be Jerry Blevins?
Mets situation, I'd probably stay away from.
That's one to avoid, but
yeah,
you know what? Somebody's going to end up getting the saves there.
Yeah, with the Mets,
though, there's not a lot of position players to speculate on with the trade deadline. Like, if somebody is moved, who's going to replace that guy? And the only guy that you want to think is maybe Ahmed Rosario if Asdrubal Cabrera is moved.
So basically where I'm coming from, I know that Don Mattingly said yesterday that, or said earlier, or during the weekend rather, that if Adrian Ramos gets traded, I can see Claw being that guy. That is a great team name, the Claw, which is yeah. what I would like to do if I pick that guy up. It's part of my process, you know.
Will you, so, if you pick him up, will you change your name? Because you the other guy's in the minors.
So if they pick him up and they trade away AJ Ramos, so then he's the closer, then I will definitely change my name to the Claw. It's spelled, of course, C-L-A-U-G-H.
And if Corey, like, you know, makes a trade, he can change his name to the Hand.
Nevertheless, he's not even here. We're still doing these jokes. It's unbelievable.
You know he's listening to the show somewhere.
So anyway, the reason that I'm not going to do the San Diego thing. And my league is different. I want every league is different. I get it, right? I got four pickups here. I've used one of Whit Merrifield's. I have three left for this week. I can't speculate on San Diego because I can't waste a pickup on the wrong guy here. Whether it's Brad Hand, he doesn't get traded. Whether it's Carter Cash, he's crushing it in the minors. Whether it's Matteau, even though it's not his name. Even if it's that, like, I can't do that. Same goes for the White Sox and Anthony Swarzak. Like, I'm more interested in Swarzak than I am in anybody in San Diego right now. So that's that. With the Mets, I don't ever want to own Hansel Robles. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
So it's like, if I had to rank them right now, guys I want to pick up, to speculative get there before the trade deadline, it's Barrichello number one. It's Anthony Swarzak number two. It's probably Carter Capture Me, honestly, number three. Then Alex Wilson four. And that's kind of it. That's what I would do. The only one I'm going to... Me, in my league right now, and I honestly, when you guys are talking about it, I just did it, was pick up Kyle Barrichello.
Yeah, well, the thing with Swarzak is, I mean, he's had a fantastic
season.
I think some team is going to want to acquire him for their playoff run. So,
Who closes for the White Sox?
I mean, the White Sox honestly don't care.
You know,
I mean,
Clipper.
You know what would be interesting? I don't know if they'll do it. They did it with Chris Sale.
It's true.
They've been very aggressive with their young pitchers. Does Kopech maybe come up, pitch out of the bullpen?
Right.
Something like that. I mean, that's a guy I'm dying to see. I'm just throwing... I just don't think Swarzak's going to remain on this team. I think they're in this... What they've been getting back and this youth movement they're making, it just makes too much sense to turn over a guy like Swarzak. And we've seen what relief pitchers... They could be dominant one year and not dominant the next year. So you got to take advantage of it with this. Like Brad Hand is going to, like I said, he's going to get traded. I don't see him closing for a team. So, you know, if you have him now, enjoy maybe another save or two this week if he shuts down the Mets. But, I mean, he's going to be a left-handed specialist and used that way. So, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. It's Bearclaw by a long shot, you know. And after that, it's pretty much, you just really got, everybody's got a smartphone now. So you just got to be paying attention to, and sometimes maybe you got to make a move based on news that's not confirmed yet. A lot of it
exactly.
is smoke.
Got to get ahead of the game.
Yeah, a lot of it, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, but sometimes it's right.
Yeah, with the Mets and the Padres, it could become an audition process. Like, you don't know that guy, and it's going to have to become an audition kind of thing. With Bearclaw, I interviewed him earlier this season. You can check it out on demand on Roto Experts at the Park. And I feel like, you know, mentally, he's ready to step into that role.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that he's done in the minor leagues. He said he always expected to be, you know, in that role eventually. So, yeah, I feel like the Marlins
and you made
feel
a great,
like he's
you
ready.
You made a great point in the fact that, you know, the Marlins are out of contention. And they do want to see how this guy can, how he'll do in that closer role.
Yeah, and it's not like Ramos didn't, like, have put them in some dicey situations, yeah. too.
He was
the guy was his story for walking bases loaded and then getting out of it.
Let's be clear.
He was one walk short of an Amano Benitez.
Every league is different. Every league is different what you can do. What you guys did on Sunday in your leagues, going after Barrichello for very little money, is great. And for some people, all you lose is FAB. For me, with this week, I lose pickups.
Oh, let me ask you a question.
That's for me.
In your league.
Yes, sir.
Is Aquila still available?
No. Keanu Aquila got picked up.
Because even though the other guy got the save, I think it's a matter of time before Aquila.
Yeah, Claudio's got three and Leclerc's got one.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a... Oh, actually, Aquila got dropped. Aquila is available.
If I'm playing the long game here for the rest of the season, I think he has the most saves in Texas.
I agree with you. I very much agree with you. But there's so many guys right now. Let's see. I don't know if I need to play.
I have an American
right
League
now.
Only league like that, and we have no bench.
Right.
No bench, and it's like Keela came back, and like I had no choice but to cut him, and it, like I had to keep Claudio.
Like I said, it's very, very tough to speculate. You try to do the best you can do.
Yeah.
If you're speculating
on draft day.
If you have unlimited pickups and you have plenty of FAB left, Do it now. Do it early in this week before these trades go down.
But that's what I like about your league. Even though it's first come, first serve, there's at least a limit of like four a week that you can make.
Yeah.
So you're not just randomly, you know, saying I'm going to just grab this guy and, you know, if it don't work, I'll pick up the next guy.
100%. And it's very frustrating. And I'm trying to maneuver. I mean, it's Tuesday and I've used half my pickups for the week. And that scares the crap out of me because I've really been through some injuries. Yeah. I have so many terrible pitchers on my team.
Well, let me ask you, the deadline's what? It's
Monday.
Monday, so you get a fresh week.
So I got a fresh week Monday, absolutely.
That Monday morning is going to be four pickups.
Monday afternoon, I have a conference call at 4. I'm going to be sitting here ready to rock.
You know, Maddie, when we do these segments, we should play Fab by George Harrison, right?
Yeah, there you
Fab.
Go.
Fab.
Yeah, so I have
not one of my favorite George Harrisons.
But it fits.
You know, I have so many terrible pitchers on this team. It's like it just gets worse by the day. Like I own Lance McCullers, stinks.
Yeah, but let's go back to Lance McCullers. This is why you don't mess with people and all this innings limit crap.
Sure.
They pretty much put him on the DL for, you know, just to get him some rest and stuff. The guy was pitching lights
out of his mind.
You don't make him sit. You don't take him out of that routine. I think he did pitch for like 11 days. Then you're asking him to get back. And he hasn't been the same pitcher since they put him on that DL. And to me, that's just, you know, why mess with success?
I agree. So, yeah, he stinks. Ty Block, who I owned because he's pacing San Diego over the weekend, he stinks.
He does.
Fulton Evich is good. I picked up Colin McHugh coming back. I hate Colin McHugh. I picked him up anyway. He had a good three innings.
Blake Musgrove got the win last night. Just throwing that out there.
Why do you got to do that to me? I get it, but I don't own him.
Best friends forever.
Forever and ever and ever. Blake Snell pitched really well last night.
He only had one walk. It's like
he
I had to do a double
innings.
Take.
That was like amazing.
No, the problem was he pitched into the eighth. That was the problem. It was 7 innings and one run ball, and I'm celebrating.
He had
and
never all of a pitched sudden, more than 5 innings in his career.
And all of a sudden
night.
He comes back out for the eighth. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Stinks. Yeah. Jeff Hoffman stinks. Eduardo Rodriguez stinks.
Fulton Evich was my sleeper. No, Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be fine.
And then Jake McGrath was awesome.
Yes, you were very high on Fulton.
All right, when we come back, we're talking about sleepers. Let's get back into the NFL, back into football. Sleepers, running backs, next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Here, Roto Experts in the morning. RotoExperts.com. Your damn Roto Experts mock draft, Scott, keeps getting pushed back. It's very frustrating. I'm excited to be part of the Roto Experts mock since I wasn't involved last time because I wasn't invited.
Yes, I made sure.
Thank you.
I would have protested.
I appreciate that. The RotoExperts.com standard mock draft is available now inside the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. You sus mania.
It will be available shortly.
When you check it. Jesus.
Come on, Scott, stop slacking here. Come on.
Excuse me?
The PBR mock draft is supposed to start.
I haven't written an article at all, so.
He's too busy winning.
Yeah. I'm too busy doing shows, Scott. Yeah. I'm sorry.
There you go. Anyway,
he can protect himself. He's an adult.
Well, he's also my friend.
What?
Friends protect friends.
Right.
That's right.
You've called. Now, Corey is your bestie, and he's your friend, yet you've never said this about me.
Scott, I believe when he came to Eddie Lacy, I sat here sitting in this seat yelling at Corey.
He did defend
you. Yelling at Corey and telling me that you were correct.
But you never said I was your friend.
Do you want me to... Scott, of course you're my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. don't think that counts now that you basically made him say it.
Yeah.
It's like you put a gun to his head and it's like, tell me you're my friend. Please.
Okay. Let me continue going over last year's sleepers. We'll get to this year's sleepers. You can see right now inside the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. 20% off when you use the code SUSMANIA. Okay. So I mentioned Chris Ivory, who was your guy, Scott. After that, other guys that were mentioned last year. Amir Abdullah, who obviously did not work out because he was hurt. I want to get your thoughts on Amir Abdullah in just 1 second. Josh Ferguson was a disaster of a pick. Matt Jones was a terrible pick. Melvin Gordon was a fantastic pick.
Who was that?
Let me see if that was inside this package. Because I tried...
Yeah, why don't you high on...
Melvin Gordon. I wrote that up in another article.
Melvin Gordon was Adam Filadelfo. Okay? He was a hell of a job at Adam Filadelfo. Is he back this year in the exclusive edge package?
No.
We're going to cross Adam out. It was Scott.
It was Scott the King Angles.
My bold predictions article, which is coming soon for this year.
What are we getting? I may be wrong, but.
That's where it was.
That's where it was.
Very soon.
I'm very excited to read that. I enjoy that one every year.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Latavius Murray was selected here by Joe Galina.
And Latavius Murray was, from weeks 1 to 16 in PPR, the number 12 running back. So,
listen, touchdowns were there. I have no issue with the Latavius Murray pick. Gio Bernard. Yep. And the last two, Ryan Matthews and Spencer Ware. I got the Spencer Ware thing. Before we move on to this year's sleepers, I do want to ask you about Amir Abdullah moving forward in 2017. Supposedly, he's healthy. The Lions have done nothing of note to adjust their running game situation. Nothing. And I'm very excited to talk to you about this, Scott. They've done nothing to address the running game situation. We know Theo Riddick's role is secure. He's a passing down back. His role is not going anywhere. Amir Abdullah, they are talking him up yet again. All they have done is sign Matt Asiata. That's it. So Amir Abdullah is there. Zach Zenner, who had an okay end of the year last year, is there. And then you say that, Scott, and that noise.
I know who's coming, Scott.
But your pick as the sleeper running back in Detroit and in all of fantasy football in 2017 is Dwayne Washington.
Yep. Abdullah, you know, it's interesting because it gives you pause, because when the front office doesn't do anything and they leave him there, you think they still have the confidence in him. But the guy just, he doesn't stay healthy. And I don't even know when he's on the field how large of a role he's going to be able to handle, because he can't stay healthy. The offensive line is somewhat improved. Dwayne Washington.
Is it improved? It's worse.
Yes.
It's worse.
It's worse. Yeah. They went out and got some guys in the
offseason. They lost some left guys. They lost
Taylor Decker.
They lost.
But they brought in two new guys. They've revamped the line.
I don't think this offensive line has improved at all, to be honest with you.
They've revamped the line during the offseason. I won't get you those changes.
No problem.
And I think Dwayne Washington couldn't find any running room last year.
According to Pro Football Focus, the Detroit Lions are the worst offensive line in the NFC North. And although they spent money the last 2 years, as you said, it's an issue. According to Football Focus.
It's an issue, but I think it'll be better than last year.
I think they say it's better pass blocking than run blocking.
That's an issue. This is an issue. They bring in Greg Robinson, who sucks. They bring in Cyrus, the guy from the Bills, who was voted the best backup on the line last year. When he's not in a hot field, high as balls.
And who else did they bring? Didn't they bring in Riley Reiff, I think?
Riley Reiff left.
I'm sorry. Who did they bring in to replace him, though? Well, let me take a look at the offensive line.
They added Graham Glasgow last year. They bring in Cornelius. This offensive line's not good.
I'll say this. I don't have a share.
They signed Rick Wagner, and they brought in TJ Lang. That's probably
right. I like the Lang signing a lot.
But he's hurt!
He's not out for the season.
No, he should be back for training camp. I'm just saying he's hurt now. I don't know how much improved this offensive line is going to be. I apologize for jumping down your throat, Scott. Please continue.
Dwayne Washington, I think the offensive line is going to be better. It was pretty darn bad last year. And when you had a guy like TJ Lang, that's one improvement there. I'm pulling up the depth chart here, so I can, you know, they got Greg Robinson now.
Sucks.
They have Travis Swanson doesn't suck.
Yeah, he's Travis Swanson.
I got to ask a question: are you going to draft Dwayne Washington in a 16 round draft?
Maybe he's my final pick. Yeah, that's why I put him as, you know, as my sleeper. I feel like, you know, this line is going to be a little bit improved this year, at least. I think the Lions went out and, you know, made some moves to make things better here. You know, getting Robinson, getting Lang, I think will improve things overall. And I think there'll be more running room for a power speed combination like Dwayne Washington.
I'm gonna tell you this.
Zenner is mediocre. Abdullah can't stay healthy. Riddick can't run the ball. I think Dwayne Washington in his second year, like he talks about, you know. He got a taste last year. Wasn't a good taste, but I think he's more talented than what we saw last year.
What was the exact quote you just gave me on Zach Zenner? What did you describe him as?
Mediocre.
What makes you think Dwayne Washington's better?
I think he's a more talented running back.
From what?
I think he's got more speed than Zach Zenner. He's got more burst than Zach Zenner.
Does he?
Zach Zenner is just like, he's a jag.
Well,
no, I'll give you an opportunity. Mm-hmm. One second. I think there's a better chance that Dwayne Washington gets cut that he's successful in 2017.
I disagree with you. That's why I put him as my sleeper.
I think
he's a talented kid who just had a mess of a first season, and he's due to rebound.
Well, you hit on this. That'll be impressive, Scott. I mean, I'm heading into the 30th round of my draft champions, which is it's a best ball format, 35 rounds, no in-season pickups. And I do have him in my queue, Dwayne Washington. He is still available.
30 rounds. And I get this is a deep, 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 deep sleeper here, Scotty.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, this is your one running back. Tell us a sleeper. Here's what I'll say. And I talked about this on the
Fantasy Football. Give him that.
This is what I talked about the Fantasy Football Best Friends yesterday. There is no such thing as a sleeper anymore. Dwayne Washington is a sleeper. There's no such thing as a sleeper. The other guys in this list that we're going to read about for the next 20 minutes, they are not sleepers. Dwayne Washington is a sleeper.
I even go
so
far
I will give
to
you
say
that,
he's,
Scott.
He's on like life support. Like, you know. No, if he hits, that's great. But I mean, I don't know. I can't see myself drafting him in a 16 rounder. I don't even know about. I wouldn't draft him in a 20 rounder. But Scott might be right. Scott likes him, so you know.
Yeah, I mean Scott's bringing it out, and if he's right, all the credit to the king on this 1,000%.
If he's wrong, he'll be whipped and beaten. Though.
I will
When is Taylor Decker coming back?
Or not.
He's not. Mm-mm. That's why they signed Greg Robinson.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Greg Robinson's terrible. Like, beyond
terrible.
Well,
didn't he get traded for the 6th
traded
round
for nothing, yeah. Yeah. And they try. I can't
They brought in T.J. Lang and Ricky Wagner.
Is he the right side? The right side. Yeah. He's the right side of the line, yeah. Absolutely. But signing Cyrus Quendio.
Well, can we get back to Amir Abdullah for a second? Yeah, I mean, sure. That's the guy I think we need to talk about.
And then you got, you got Lake and Tomlinson and Graham Glasgow, so.
The bottom line here is
they're still improving.
If Amir Abdullah can show something, Dwayne Washington is not even going to be a thought. I mean, Amir Abdullah does have talent. I own zero shares right now, and I've done quite a few drafts. But I think at some point I do want to have something with Amir Abdullah. It's kind of a guy that I'm kind of torn on because I'm really not a fan. But what do we say in fantasy football? What is one of the most important things? It's opportunity. The opportunity is there for him. He is the guy that is pretty much, they're saying, look, here's the keys. You are the running back for this team. I understand health issues and, you know, all that stuff, but he's a guy that maybe I got to redo a deep dive on and see where I go. Because I know there are some people that do like him, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Chris Ventura was here last week. He really likes him, but... Yep, I just feel like the line is going to be adequate enough. You know, when you add a guy like T.J. Lang to like lead the line, and Swanson isn't that bad for sure. You know, and they added some other guys. They got some improving young guys. I think in the offseason, you know, they dedicated themselves to try to improve the blocking. I believe this kid, you know, if he gets openings and there's more opportunities for openings this year, I think he's a power speed combo. And if Abdullah was to go down, which wouldn't shock any of us all, I think he gets opportunity and takes advantage of it.
I think ultimately when Amir Abdullah went down last year, everyone spent a ton of fab on Dwayne Washington, right? Like, this is the guy everybody ran to. And I think ultimately what happened, what really would happen again, take Dwayne Washington out of it for a moment, take Zach Zenner out of it for a moment, it's just going to be more Theo Riddick. I just think what they'll do is just go away from the run entirely.
I don't think so. I think the blocking will be somewhat improved, and I think Dwayne Washington can take advantage of that. This is a team that's going to be a short area team, I think. You know, they throw the football high percentage. They want to improve the running game.
I would just reclassify him as a deep, deep sleeper.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would say.
He was that from the beginning. Yeah. You know, they asked me to do a sleeper. I said, I'm going to reach to the bottom of the bed.
It's amazing. You know, Scotty goes literally to the bottom of the bed for the sleeper. We'll talk about the rest of who the Roto Experts chose when we come back, including George Kurtz, who's been spot on. We'll tell you who he picks next here at the Roto Experts in the morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Back here, Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Radio Network.
I gotta say, while you were gone, Scott was very subdued with his air guitar and stuff. It was missing from the show.
Amazing. It's amazing how that works out. Wow. So Pudge Rodriguez on SportsCenter, I did not know that was him. I thought it looked like Dana White to me.
Yeah. It was crazy when, like, Kirby Puckett retired, and then, like, a few years later, he, like, just... I felt like he ate Minnesota. I'm just saying.
Scotty, Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package available right now. RotoExperts.com. Use code SUSMania. And we got into it a little bit there.
Yeah, and check out Jake Seeley's rankings, because yesterday Fantasy Pros revealed their rankings accuracy expert qualifications for 2016, and Jake finished sixth overall. Yes.
And just a side note, on Thursday Football Frenzy, we'll have the number one, Dalton Del Don.
On the Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Yeah.
Dalton Del Don.
Jake is average.
Jake Seeley, number six.
Jake was averaged third over the last 2 years.
Number six last year, though.
Yeah. I went down. I was 20th last year, 2 years ago, and I was 45th last year, although I was 9th in running back predictions.
So there you go.
You were in Washington.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I was just reviewing the line again, like, during the break, and I don't think it's bad as you make it out to be, especially with the additions of Lang and Wagner there, and, you know, you got some young guys there who are on the come. I think it's solid, probably 4 of the 5 spots.
I don't know why you want to die on a hill with Dwayne Washington, though.
Don't do this.
I don't know why you want to die on a hill with Dwayne Washington.
Because I think Abdullah can't stay healthy, carry a heavy load. And I think if this new line, revamped line, could open holes for Dwayne Washington, he's going to surprise people.
We're forgetting the part where Dwayne Washington has to be good.
Well, last year they opened holes to the tune of like 1.3 yards per carry. The line's going to be better this year. My point from a scouting perspective is that Dwayne Washington is not the kind of guy who could create his own running room. But I think the running room will be created for him this year, and that's why he is going to show us more this season.
But he is not good. That's the problem, in my opinion, from my scouting.
What I saw last year, some running backs can create their own running room. Other has to take what's given to them. I think Washington can be productive if he takes what's given to him.
I'd rather have Zach Zenner.
Yeah, Zach Zenner's mediocre.
Zach Zenner was behind the same offensive line, performed better.
Zach Zenner's a different kind of runner, right? He'll break tackles, but then he'll go nowhere after he breaks the tackle. It's, you know, to me, Dwayne Washington, you open holes for the guy, I think he's going to surprise.
I can't even get you an ADP on Dwayne Washington.
Zach Zenner behind the seam offensive line was better.
Zach Zenner is not as talented as Dwayne Washington.
That's not true. There was zero evidence to back what you're saying up.
What was Zach Zenner's numbers last year? There was nothing to write home about.
I didn't say that. I said that. All I said was they were better than Dwayne Washington. Yeah.
I think Dwayne Washington
had 90 attempts for 265 and one.
With all due respect, you want to look back at last year.
Yes.
I want to look ahead.
Zach Zenner had 334 yards and four. in less carries.
You're looking at last year.
You just asked me what his numbers were.
And they weren't outstanding. They weren't outstanding. You're looking.
They are better than the guy you chose.
The guy, it's a different situation. Like, he talks about situations and roles.
Here's my thing. I think you could say, you want to make a bold prediction, I think that fits Dwayne Washington much better than a sleeper prediction. Because
it's a deep sleeper, like you said.
He's like a super deep sleeper. I don't think he goes, even in a 20-round draft, I don't think he's going.
I'll take him.
I want you to take him in the 16-round draft.
He's your sleeper.
All right. Just asking. Thank you.
You know, I think I did in our standard mock. I think it was my final pick.
It's a mock. It means nothing to me.
It means nothing to you, but I do the same thing that I would in a real draft.
I want
to
see it. I want to see it.
I'll do it.
If you don't draft him in a 16-round draft, you will be brave.
I took him in Scott's Fishbowl.
Don't care about that either. That's not a standard 16-round draft.
I will take him in the standard.
GST League, that's all I'm on your team in the 16th round.
He will be.
Perfect.
If he's there,
if we get to the 16th round.
He'll be there.
It depends. Now, I have to say, it depends on who else is there.
No! You have made this thing that you will
in
take
the 16th round. I'm not asking you to do it before.
We'll just pencil him in.
I am not asking you to do it before the 16th round. I'm asking you to do it in the last round, or whatever the last round of the GST is.
Because I have another deep sleeper. At another position, and what if they're both there? I got to make a pick. It depends on what I need.
We'll get to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? We'll get to that tomorrow.
That's the 17th round.
We'll get to that tomorrow. All right. The sleeper running backs that the rest of the staff chose. It's interesting. So there's a majority of the staff chose one guy. Three people chose one guy. I'll get to him last. Somebody you were talking about very, very much. Was on the Frenzy, or I think it was, no, I'm sorry, it was the On Target guys were talking about Dalvin Cook a lot yesterday. I know you're very high on Dalvin Cook. Corey, we're all high on Dalvin Cook, I think. So he is a deep sleeper. Devontae Booker, Corey and I have been very, very adamant about him. Sky chose Dwayne Washington. Sam Piran, we've talked a lot about on the show. Amir Abdullah. Bilal Powell back for another year on the sleeper list. Paul Perkins!
Yeah, but see, are these guys, I got to take a little issue. Like, Bilal Powell's going in the sixth round. Perkins goes in the sixth rounds in certain drafts. I mean, are these guys really sleepers?
So I think that's the question, right? Like, Dwayne Washington's a sleeper, obviously. These guys, I think.
Dwayne Washington's in a coma right now.
These guys, I think, are more so players that the writers expect to severely outperform their ADP.
Right. And you also have to talk context again here to a guy. Like Maddie, you know, he's not a sleeper because Maddie knows about him. If you say to a mainstreamer, like a mainstreamer come up to you and says, like they do to me, they say, who's your sleeper? And you say Paul Perkins or even Bilal Powell, or some people, they're going to go, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I think you're right, Scott. Yeah. I think ultimately.
Because you hear
high profile teams, I don't know.
You hear people talk. You know about it, but it's like
I'm not just saying that I know about it.
I'm saying though, Paul Perkins is a guy that you hear a guy like Corey slam him like he's completely irrelevant. You have to add that context.
So
Devontae Booker to me would be a sleeper. You think he's going to usurp that role?
Devontae Booker is definitely a sleeper, right? Like that.
I don't think the average fantasy player is on Paul Perkins.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Listen, Devontae Booker's a real sleeper. I think Paul Perkins, for all intents and purposes, are also a sleeper because a lot of people, not that they don't know who Paul Perkins is, it's that they don't expect anything from him. So when a writer at rotoexperts.com that writes inside the Exclusive Edge package mentions Paul Perkins, it's like, okay, maybe I should be higher on this guy than I was.
Right.
That's all. All right. Like, for instance, we're going to get to George Kurtz. The player that George Kurtz chose is not a sleeper in the definition that Dwayne Washington and Devontae Booker are a sleeper. But it's in that his value, he expects him to severely outperform his ADP, obviously, and become a sleeper for where he is going in drafts. The person that George Kurtz, the guy that chose Matt Ryan, DeMarco Murray last year. You don't know because I didn't write it on the sheet, right?
I don't know.
This is great.
This is my drum roll.
The person that George, the answer expert Kurtz, chose as his 2017 running back sleeper, Adrian Peterson.
Ring the bell.
Adrian Peterson. Here's what George, my man, said.
By the way, these things are like sleepers / running backs Corey Parson hates.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
I said, other than Devontae Booker.
Yeah.
He says.
And he likes Dwayne Washington, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'm very excited to talk to him.
He was actually said it first on the air before I did.
Really?
Yeah.
So you stole Corey. You stole Corey's running back.
No. It's just, I didn't mention it before he did.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, George said this about Adrian Peterson. Why is everyone assuming he's done? Yes, he was injured early and often last season, but I don't care what his rushing stats were in the games he was. I don't care what his rushing stats were in the games he was healthy. That O-line was putrid. In New Orleans, he won't have to worry about defenses stacking the box. They will be worried about Drew Brees in the passing game. Let's also not forget that Sean Payton, I'll paraphrasing here, and mother effing hates Mark Ingram. Paraphrasing. I'll take AP as my RB2 or my RB3 in every league. Matt, you host the Black Book with George Kurtz tonight. He's more in on AP than I've seen anybody be in.
Yeah, AP's, I think I have him like the low 30s in my running back rankings. I'm also going off of a PPR format. I don't recognize standard, so that's where I stand. So, look, is the opportunity there for Peterson? Yes, to be involved. And I'll just reiterate, this backfield as a whole in New Orleans is a very successful fantasy backfield year in and year out. They're usually top five, if not top one, two, or three. When you put in all the components. But, I mean, I don't know. You're still asking a lot from this guy. I know he's done things that others have not. And I wouldn't totally write him off. Maybe like ninth round for me. He's going to go higher.
Much higher, yeah.
He's going, and when the leagues that I'm drafting, I see him like the eighth, maybe late seventh.
Okay.
But maybe in regular leagues. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you really want to pay like a 6-round price for Adrian Peterson? That's what you got to ask yourself. What are you passing on?
Currently, AP is going as number 65 overall, so it's a 6-round, like you said.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the cost right there. What is drafting Adrian Peterson costing me? And I don't know if that's correct.
You know, the 6th round you want to do. Would you rather have Adrian Peterson or Tevin Coleman?
I think I'd rather have Tevin Coleman. I'd rather have Coleman, too.
I'm not thinking Peterson until the 9th round if he's there.
And he's not going to be there. From what we're seeing.
Well, he won't be in any Royal Locker Rooms.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about a fantasy locker room?
Yeah.
It's a Royal Locker Room. That's been introduced to the show.
No way. There's no way you were in a fantasy locker. That's so anti-you. It's unbelievable.
What do you mean?
To me, that sounds like a fantasy rotation type thing. Fantasy locker room.
Look, Corey says it all the time.
But Corey and I both agree with that.
Corey's in that. I mean, Scott's in that room snapping towels like you wouldn't believe. Stay away.
I am stunned.
How's it? Like,
it's not a real thing. It's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing. But you're just having fun.
I agree. Yeah. But fantasy rotation is the same type of thing.
No, but fantasy rotation is factually inaccurate.
I don't agree.
Just like the workhorse theory is factually
inaccurate. Fantasy locker
inaccurate.
Room is also factually
it doesn't
inaccurate.
Exist, but grammatically inaccurate fantasy rotation is.
I don't agree. Colin Moore running
you're
back
wrong.
Sleepers for you. I am not wrong. That
yes,
is my
are.
Opinion. That
yes,
is my
you
opinion,
are.
Sir.
No, you're wrong.
Back after this.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, talking sleeper running backs. RotoExperts.com. A couple more I want to get to. Both guys in Oakland, Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington.
You're in a Richard?
Scott?
Yeah, a report coming out yesterday that what you and I were both discussing about Marshawn Lynch, that, you know, that he may get under 200 carries, et cetera, right? Okay.
This is like the most obvious thing in the world. I don't know how people are missing this.
Yeah, the guy was breaking down in 2015.
Scott, I'm so with you.
A year off is starting to rejuvenate him. You know, it's like everybody's in love with the story. It could be a sort of committee there. And, you know, Dwayne Washington's got some sprinkle in his step there. I like Richard, too.
You mean DeAndre Washington.
Yeah. Okay, DeAndre Washington.
Dwayne Washington has no sprinkle.
DeAndre Washington. You'll be surprised. It's okay. But I think it's really hard there to see who I would like better. It's like, outside of Lynch, I don't know if I want to draft anybody. And I don't really want him either.
Rex Burkhead was named as a potential sleeper out there in New England.
I think if you do a 16-round draft and Rex Burkhead is there in the 16th round, he should be taken.
I agree with that.
Every single time.
I agree with that.
You know, he's a guy that they like a lot because he's a combination of power, he can break tackles, and he's got some quickness when he gets to second level.
And before they signed Gillislee, people were taking him like in the fifth round.
He catches passes out of the backfield. You never know in any given week, and Jake Seeley's more extreme with this, about still what running back is going to be in New England. Of course, I like Gillislee the best, but there's going to be weeks when Gillislee does nothing, and all of a sudden, Burkhead's going to be the leader.
So, I agree. Round 16, I'm going to wear Rex Burkhead. I really am. I'm totally with you guys. Would you rather have Rex Burkhead or Dwayne Washington?
What's that?
Would you rather have Rex Burkhead or Dwayne Washington?
That's a tough one. I'm going to go Dwayne Washington.
Good, because I text Vaccaro, you have in the 16th round, Dwayne Washington.
All right.
Depends on who else is there.
The number one sleeper running back, as chosen by the Roto Experts exclusive Edge writing staff, Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
More than one guy, yeah.
Three people chose Jamal Williams.
Everybody loves Jamal Williams.
They do.
I think it's going to be a timeshare between him and Ty Montgomery. I think he's got a lot of talent. He runs very well in short space, really slippery. But, you know, the Packers keep the running game secondary, and you got Montgomery there. I think it really caps his upside. Maybe by 2018, this guy has a breakout.
See, here's the thing for me. If Montgomery proves that he can pass protect, I don't know, because he's a nightmare matchup when on the field. So, and look, the coach, I know it's coach speak, and it's, you know, summertime, but Montgomery, it's Montgomery's to lose. Jamal Williams, yes, will get involved and could possibly increase over time. I have a lot of shares of Jamal Williams, too. But not that I don't like him, neither. I just think that the key is the pass blocking. If he really proves he can do that, like I said, this is not a small guy. Everybody thinks Ty Montgomery is tiny because he was a wide receiver. He's bigger than Jamal Williams. So
I do want to make that clear. He's bigger than Jamal Williams. He's a totally different type of running back, I think. Ty Montgomery is really going to get a shot. I think that's what I have to, in my opinion, I have to emphasize. He's going to get a shot. It's not going to be day one where Jamal Williams just walks in here and all of a sudden is a starting running back. I don't think that happens. I think Jamal Williams will compete with the other running backs that Green Bay drafted and has brought in. But Ty Montgomery is going to legitimately get the first opportunity to be the starting running back in Green Bay.
That's without question. But I think eventually, like, Williams' talent is going to force his way into the situation. It'll be a timeshare.
Like Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware type thing?
No, because those guys, I think Hunt is definitely going to be the lead running back purely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, Fantasy Football Friends with you, Matt Modica, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson and Jake Seeley. For Scott Engel and Matt Modica, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern, the Roto Experts in the Morning.